Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Greater Boston still suffers from a very large pay gap. That's despite the state's pay equity law. I mean, just listen to this. Black women in Greater Boston make 52 cents for every dollar a white man earns. Latina women earn 49 cents on the dollar. Asian women, 71 cents. White women, 75 cents, compared to every dollar a white man earns. Now, those are just some of the statistics included in a new report released by the Boston Women's Workforce Council this week. And WBUR Bostonomics reporter Zeninjor Enwemeka is here to walk us through the report's findings. Hi there, Zeninjor.
Hey, Meghna.
Okay, so 52 cents, 49 cents, huge pay gap.
Yeah, the numbers really aren't pretty for women of color. And, you know, a lot of times when people talk about the wage gap, they're looking at the overall number. And, you know, what this report shows, it kind of echoes some national findings that, you know, national estimates have always noted that the gender wage gap is far worse for women of color. This report really takes a close look at what that means here in Greater Boston, and shows that there's really a need to maybe focus more on women of color when talking about the wage gap. It's important to note in terms of this data in the report that the numbers here that are broken down across demographics, they don't account for job or position. So it's really looking at all salaries for one group compared to all salaries for white men. The report did, however, also look at wage disparities by job category. So looking at women and men who are in the same type of job. And when you look at that data, the largest gaps were among sales workers and service workers, where sales workers earn, women who are sales workers earn 63 cents for every dollar men earn. Service workers, women who are service workers earn 57 cents on the dollar. And we saw this in the data, the smallest wage gaps were among plumbers, construction workers, bus drivers, and flight attendants. There is a little bit more parity where women in those fields earned 88 cents on the dollar.
Interesting. I wonder how much unionization has to do with that. But to be clear, that 52 cents on the dollar we were talking about earlier about African-American women, that's an average number. It's not directly job specific.
Exactly. That's an average number.
Okay. So these are really interesting numbers. How did the Boston Women's Workforce Council find them? Where'd they get the information?
Yeah. So it's important to note, typically the wage gap is calculated based on salary information that's reported by employees. What the Boston Women's Workforce Council looked at here is salary information that was reported directly by employers.
Uh-huh.
So they had 2017 wage data from over 166,000 employees at 114 companies in Greater Boston. So that's about 16% of Greater Boston's workforce.
That is fascinating because these are companies that are willing to report their own numbers.
Absolutely.
So one might think they would self-select for companies that actually had didn't have so much of a gap. But nevertheless, we find this enormous gap.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. So this is the second year of the survey. And how do these compare to earlier years?
So this report really enhances the report that was released last year. So that report last year didn't have a racial breakdown of the gender wage gap. And that was due to some human error in some of the data. This new report really corrects for that. The old report also had a much smaller sample size. There, it looked at about 11% of Greater Boston's workforce. So officials are really confident that this new report provides a stronger baseline.
Okay, so you talked earlier about how nationally we've sort of seen these similar gaps in the past, but how do these current statistics for the Greater Boston area then compare nationwide?
So the number that usually is floating around there nationally is that women earn 80 cents on the dollar for men compared to men. And in Massachusetts, statewide, women earn 82 cents on the dollar. And that's according to the state's own numbers. So for the overall wage gap here in this new report for Greater Boston, it finds that women earn 76 cents for every dollar men earn.
Okay. And now we come to the most important question. Why, Zeninjor? Why? I mean, we've been talking about this wage gap for so many years, but it's still here.
Yeah. I mean, it's a complicated answer. There could be a number of reasons. You know, there's a lot of emphasis on unconscious and conscious bias in the workplace, looking at how workplace policies and practices really maybe hinder women, and also looking around issues of salary negotiation. So a combination of things.
Okay. So about that salary salary negotiation, the city of Boston has been offering free negotiation workshops for women. And as we mentioned before, there is a state pay equity law. So how can we measure if these initiatives are working?
So the city believes that these are first steps. They believe that what they've implemented is working. The city did release a report in the fall that showed that women who had taken their salary negotiation workshops, about half of them were able to successfully negotiate higher pay. But officials acknowledge that, you know, this isn't going to solve everything. There's still a long way to go. They believe this data will allow them to measure the future, you know, success against. And I talked about this with Megan Costello, who heads up the mayor's office of women's advancement. And she believes that all of these approaches will help.
It is this unique combination of things. We're addressing both policy, human behavior, and culture that we really feel will close the gap in Boston. It's not going to happen overnight. We have to measure progress. We have to understand that this takes time. But every single person in the city of Boston has a role to play.
And part of that is the city is working with businesses, with companies who they're getting to sign on to this compact that they have, basically pledging to address pay equity, to share data, to talk about best practices. The city sort of sees itself as facilitating these efforts. But of course, a lot of this comes down to what employers actually do.
Okay. So you just mentioned a couple things that employers could do. Is there more? Did people you talk with have more ideas?
Yeah, so a lot of it is looking internally. So looking at policies, practices, examining wages. The city, again, is hoping to facilitate those conversations. But the Boston Women's Workforce Council, it really hopes that this report, that the data here is sort of a guide for companies, that companies will look at these numbers and compare what's going on within their organizations to the numbers that we see in this report. So I spoke with Mary Rose Mazzola, the executive director of the Boston Women's Workforce Council, about this, and here's what she said.
The goal of our work is a culture shift, and that doesn't happen unless everyone at the company is engaged in really changing that culture and making it a place where, you know, diversity and inclusion are prioritized. And a large part of that is being honest about the policies, the programs, and the pay that's happening within those organizations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, changing any institution is a big challenge.
To say the least.
To say the least. So these efforts are really going to take time if it's going to create any sort of big culture shift that they're hoping for here.
Well, Zeninjor Enwemeka reports for WBUR's Bostonomics section, talking to us about persistent pay gaps in the greater Boston area. Thank you so much for joining
You're
us.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, before we head into the break here, we've got a major update on the Northern Pass Project. That's the controversial clean energy contract that the state picked that would deliver about 17% of the state's energy load by 2020. Now, the project is with Eversource Energy and Hydro-Québec, and it would run almost 200 miles of transmission line through New Hampshire. But just this afternoon, the group that was deciding whether or not to issue the final permit in New Hampshire for the Northern Pass construction to begin, that group is called the New Hampshire State Evaluation Committee, well, they voted unanimously against the project. Commission members said that the Northern Pass has not met its burden of proof to show that the proposed hydroelectric project would not, quote, unduly interfere with the orderly development of the region. This is quite a surprise because the vote comes just 3 days into deliberation by the New Hampshire Site Evaluation Committee. A final vote was not expected until the end of this month. Eversource now has 30 days to appeal the committee's ruling. If the committee decides to decline the appeal, all of this could go to the New Hampshire State Supreme Court. So that means a major part of Massachusetts' clean energy plan hangs in the balance. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.